This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, October 15th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. More calls for permitting reforms, and Trump wants to renegotiate USMCA. Ag and water interests call for permitting reforms. Coalition of farm groups, water districts, and business associations asking the legislature to streamline environmental permitting for water projects. In a letter to the Assembly Select Committee on Permitting Reform last week, the coalition highlighted the need to invest in more water infrastructure to meet the governor's goals for expanding the state's supply. Yet, getting project approval can be a significant challenge. California Environmental Quality Act is one of the biggest hurdles, but overlapping local, state, and federal jurisdictions can cause further delays and confusion, along with staffing shortages. Those setbacks increase costs, which can trickle down to ratepayers and taxpayers. According to the coalition, the regulatory gridlock can also lead to worse environmental outcomes and delay projects that will benefit the environment. At the top of the request list is to take a watershed-scale approach to permitting, considering benefits to people, species, and ecosystems alike. Currently, agencies, quote, work within a narrow lens, failing to consider the larger impacts of their decisions, argued the coalition. Keep in mind, the Select Committee is hosting an informational hearing Wednesday about reforms to support climate resiliency. While none of the groups are on the agenda, the committee has recruited the Public Policy Institute of California to present their findings. Those researchers have made the case for ecosystem-based management. Sarah Wolf, president of the ag consulting firm WaterWise, will testify as well. Wolf spoke last week at the California Economic Summit, where she lamented the slow pace with permitting groundwater recharge projects. NRCS gaining ground in staffing effort. The Natural Resources Conservation Service is now up to just over 11,700 full-time staff. That's a level not seen in over a decade amid its efforts to roll out $19.5 billion in additional conservation funding provided through the Inflation Reduction Act. Hiring freezes, competition with the private sector, retirements, and limited candidate pools have at different times in the last 8 years complicated agency leaders' efforts to staff up. Employee numbers fell in 2017. They didn't begin rising again until 2019. They fell again in 2021, but have since risen in a recent push driven by the additional funds. But agency leaders expect 14,000 employees will be needed to handle the additional demands anticipated with the IRA lifespan. Their aim is to hire 1,600 this year, 1,200 next year, and 1,100 in 2026. Now, to take it one step deeper, check out AgriPulse's in-depth story on NRCS efforts, the history of staffing at the agency, and how turnover impacts producers. The article is the first installment of a series, quote, Getting Grounded. It examines the nation's conservation delivery systems and the challenges farmers face in getting help and advice they need to implement practices that can improve water and air quality, reduce water usage, increase wildlife habitat, make farms more climate resilient, and cut greenhouse gas emissions. AgriPulse will release those stories every Sunday. You can read the full story at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision, Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning and welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Trump wants to renegotiate USMCA. Republican candidate and former President Donald Trump says he wants to renegotiate the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, or USMCA. Trump has previously touted USMCA as the best and most important trade deal ever made by the USA. In an interview with Fox News' Maria Bartiromo on Sunday, Trump said the U.S. has been screwed up by Mexico and by China, by Canada and by the European Union. And he discussed his proposal to put a 200% tariff on cars made in Mexico by China. He also said, however, that he was using the threat of 200% tariffs as, quote, a figure of speech. "I'll say 100, 200, I'll say 500. I don't care," Trump said. "They're not going to bring cars into this country from Mexico." Now, one prominent Democratic member of Congress questioned, though, Trump's talk of tariffs. California Representative Ro Quijada said, "Trump negotiated in 2018 and signed the USMCA that capped tariffs on most cars from Mexico at 2.5%. If he wanted 100, 200, 500% tariffs, then why did he sign a treaty capping them at 2.5% when he was president?" Fisher, disaster package could include commodity payments. A Texas A&M professor suggesting that a disaster aid package could help meet some of the commodity farmers' demands for additional commodity support payments. Hurricane Helene's devastation is prompting calls from Southern lawmakers for disaster aid legislation. Bart Fisher, co-director of the Agriculture and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M, suggested at the North Carolina Chamber's Ag Allies Conference on Friday, lawmakers may weave together commodity program price supports with disaster assistance. He said he wouldn't be surprised if legislation in the $20 billion range is floated in the next week or two. Earlier in his presentation, Fisher also seemed to suggest that because lawmakers often don't worry about offsets and disaster packages, cobbling together the farm bill and a disaster aid package could moot Ag Committee leaders' funding concerns. "We do all this stuff off budget," he said of disaster aid. "We don't worry about offsets and disaster package. So if a farm bill or disaster aid hitch a ride on that, suddenly how we're going to pay for a farm bill is moot." Fisher was formerly chief economist for House Agriculture Committee ranking member Mike Conaway of Texas. But University of Illinois professor Jonathan Compass doesn't believe it will be politically possible to hitch a ride the entire farm bill to disaster aid. He said the moment you get resistance from any corner, it just gets jettisoned. It's such a big thing to carry. Meanwhile, with the potential for disaster aid package, Congress faces a long to-do list when it returns. While policy consultant Ferd Hofner thinks it's possible lawmakers may try to pass an aid package with some price-based payments for commodity farmers thrown in, he's skeptical that Congress will finish a farm bill this year. Both appropriations and the possible aid package will take up the bulk of their attention, he said. Well, here's today's final word. This acquisition represents our first of hundreds of purchase agreements with local landowners in the coming years. That Fritz Durst, chair of the site's Project Authority's Board of Directors. The authority bought about 800 acres of land in Colusa County for the construction of site's reservoir, signaling the next phase of development. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, October 15th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.